Jeremy Clarkson has found a whole new life and love. He bought 1,000 acres of land back when he was doing Top Gear and the Grand Tour. He had people run the place for him. But then his farm manager retired and he wondered whether he could do it himself. And so a new career and a new show was born. Clarkson's Farm is a global smash, of course. And we've now got the obligatory book called Diddly Squat. Diddly Squat is what he called the farm, by the way, because that's how much money he makes from it. Jeremy Clarkson with us. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm extremely well. Now, do you join us from the 1,000 acres that is Diddly Squat?
Absolutely. I'm looking at it now, the cows planning their next escape mission and the wheat growing. Yes, you're right in the middle of it here.
I mean, do you love it? Let me just background a little bit. I've got some land of my own that I, you know, go between the city and the country, and I thought that was very exciting. I've got 14 acres, and I know what it takes to look after 14 acres. So what the hell do you think you were doing buying 1,000?
Well, it was foolish, I admit, but the cows escaped because we've now got cows. It's the latest venture in my new money-making scheme, because I think we can have Australian and New Zealand sheep now, so there's no point raising those because they'll be too expensive. So I thought, I'll get cows, and they just escape all the time. It's like, honestly, they watch the great... One of them's riding a motorcycle up and down the border fence the other day, like Steve McQueen. But the other day, they got out, and it was dawn, and it was a beautiful, beautiful autumn morning, and all the trees were sort of gold and red and yellow and so on, and there was a low, low mist, but a blue sky. And I was herding the cows back through the woods, and I thought, well, now, I don't really get paid for this, but what a fantastic way of passing the time. So I love it. I really do. It's very difficult to do. It's a fantastic existence. It really is.
Has the program you've made farming more appreciated by people who didn't know about farming, and two, made you appreciate your land more?
Both, for sure. I really genuinely didn't think many people would watch the program. I don't think anybody did. And everybody involved with the making of it just thought, well, you know, it'll be a little thing tucked away on Amazon. And then I don't know what it's done in New Zealand, but it's absolutely huge here. I mean, everybody's watched it. I'm asked about in the street is tram lines and sheep and farming questions, which is extraordinary. When I spent 30 years driving around corners too quickly and shouting, suddenly I've become the sort of spokesman for farming. And has it made me appreciate the land? Yeah, really a lot. You know, I worry about soil now, which I must confess I never have in the past. Yeah, no, I do appreciate it.
And you won that award. What was the award you won?
We've won a couple of farming awards, which is extraordinary. I never thought I'd win I'd ever do farming. There's a couple of farming publications here, Farmers Weekly and Farmers Guardian, and one of them gave a jointly to me and my tractor driver, who's Caleb. If you've seen the yes. program, you'll know him well. And which is great. It's very thrilling to be recognized, because farmers here absolutely love the program, because they say it's the first time there's been a show that says, no, this is actually what farming is. It's not pumping pigs full of chemicals, and it's not, you know, trying to earn an honest crust, providing food for people. Although somebody said to me the other day, the definition of farming is working 400 hours a month for very little pay, producing food for people who think that you're trying to kill them. And I thought, that's about the sum of it, because all we ever get here is, oh, farmers have done this, oh, farmers have done that, oh, farmers have dumped something in the river. But actually, most farmers are just producing food, and that's what we're doing here.
Explain to me the juxtaposition. So there must be people in your region, right, that love what you've done, and yet all I read in the media is the people who hate you. Your neighbours hate you, the lawyers are at meetings, the community halls full of people. Is there a balance there?
There's the local village. I looked it up the other day, has a population in the last census of 829 people, and 32 have objected to my plans to open a cafe at the farm shop, which means that, you know, 795 odd either don't care or are in favour. But in every village and in every community, I guess, around the world, you have people, and we call them red trouser people here, you know, sort of NIMBYs. And they just make a noise. They just don't like me. You know, lots of people don't like me. And so whatever I try to do, they'll say, oh, no, you can't do that. But the truth of the matter is, in the UK, we've had subsidies from the government, farmers, for many, many years. And now that we've left Europe, those subsidies are stopping. So farmers have to try and earn a crust in a new way. So I thought, well, I'll open a cafe and sell my produce directly to the public, which I thought was a sensible thing to do. But, you know, there are 30 people in the village with red trousers and not much to do all day except moan about things, who are making a noise. And we have a newspaper here called the Daily Mail that rejoices in that sort of thing and celebrates anyone who's miserable and awful. And that gets the headlines. But the truth is, they're irrelevant. They don't bother me or anyone else on a day-to-day basis.
Where's the cafe at?
That's where the farm shop, which is the other side of the farm. But that, I do sympathise with the village slightly. I mean, it's not in the village, but, you know, after the programme went out, it became huge, and it's tiny, this shop. It's only, I don't know, 4 metres by three. It's a tiny little shop. But, you know, there are five-hour queues, and the, you know, people parked for miles around coming to see it, which has been a bit of a, you know, a nuisance for people living in the area. And I get that. I sympathise with them. But, you know, it's November now. It's coming into winter. The queues are going down. But it's a nice little shop. We just sell stuff from, you know, from that farmers are making in the area, which is, you know, rapeseed oil and honey and stuff like that.
I think the thing we might disagree on is the subsidy business. You get paid to grow stuff. I mean, what's the rationale in Britain behind paying people to do nothing, basically?
Well, we nearly starved to death in the Second World War. So after the Second World War, it was decided that Britain would never again not be able to feed itself. And this whole subsidy arrangement happened. So the government paid farmers, effectively subsidised farmers, to grow food, which is now stopping, which is fine. Farmers can stand on their own 2 feet. I know you do over there. Mm. You know, providing we're allowed to do the things that are necessary in order to make money. But the problem is the rest of the government hasn't caught up here. So the subsidies are stopping, but we're not allowed to do all of the things that everyone else in the world does. I mean, our farming legislation here is extraordinarily vicious. There's a police department for everything, otter police, water police, and cow poo police. I mean, everything is policed beyond belief. So they need to get rid of that and then get rid of the subsidies, and I'm perfectly happy with that, but just let me earn a living in my own way.
Can you, under the current regime, though, if you do well, make money or not?
That remains to be seen. If they get off our backs, I mean, if they're paying our wages effectively, then they can make the rules. I get that. But if they're not paying the wages, they can't make the rules. They can't tell me what to do if they're not paying me. So if they just let me get on with it, then we should be fine. You know, it won't be a huge earning, but, you know, it'll be good enough to pay Caleb's wages and put food on the table.
Now, where do the cars fit in these days? Because we had Richard Hammond on the program, you know, a couple of months ago about your lockdown program. And, I mean, are you still interested in cars, or have farming taken over your life?
Well, it's an extraordinary thing. I couldn't believe it myself. But when the pandemic hit, it was decided that reviewing Hyundais and Volkswagens was not key work, which was fortunate, really, because I was able to do farming, which was deemed to be key work. So that was good. I slightly miss cars, and I miss traveling the world with James and Richard, which is always fun. But hopefully, now it seems to be waning, the COVID business, we can resume that next year. We're certainly planning to, and get back, get the grand tour back to what it used to do.
Do you think, in watching the series, I just wonder if it's got the potential to be another, you know, Top Gear / Grand Tour? In other words, it becomes and takes on a life of its own. It becomes sort of a cultural phenomenon.
It is the most extraordinary thing, because when we were making it, I was obliged, contractually obliged, to make a TV show on my own. So I thought, well, I've done a lot of travelling. I'll just film something at home. I'll film this farming programme. And nobody had a clue that it was going to be as successful as it has been. And we've got a little mail order business now for the farm shop. And it just started to look at where the orders were coming from. I mean, Texas, that's a huge thing. Why on earth are people in Texas watching a British motoring journalist try to, you know, organise his sheep? But it's been a really very successful show, certainly in the UK. So, God, I have no idea what the future holds, but people do seem to like it.
And I couldn't help but thinking, I don't want to get down to the tabloid track here, but you did use the word fat before. As you clamber up and down the tractor and do all the jobs on the farm, that's actually got to be good for you, doesn't it?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm doing my step count. It keeps telling me I'm doing on my phone. It says, you're walking more this year than you did last. I'm not surprised. I did 10 kilometres yesterday.
And what do they make of it all, the people on the show, who I'm assuming didn't realise what they were in for and they don't know what they're in for now? I mean, how are they handling it?
Well, I mean, everybody who's on the show worked on the farm anyway. So there's been no casting, as it were. It was, you know, Caleb was the tractor driver, Charlie was the agent, Gerald is the dry stone waller. You know, everyone was here anyway. And Caleb said something quite good the other day. Our local town is called Chipping Norton. And he said, well, he's never been outside Chipping Norton in his life. And he said, everybody knew me in Chipping Norton, and now everybody knows me. So nothing's really changed in his life. I mean, he's down in Cornwall on holiday this week, so I guess he'll be doing a few selfies down there. But, you know, his Instagram followers went from 30 to a million. I mean, it's extraordinary. But I wish him all the best. He's an absolute smashing chap. He really is. And, you know, incredibly entrepreneurial and hardworking. I think if the future of the world is in his hands, then the world's okay. If it's Greta Thunberg, less so probably.
Now that you're heading towards Christmas, what do you, you know, do on the farm? Do you go kill whatever you're going to have for lunch?
We haven't got any geese or turkeys. Apparently there's going to be a shortage this year. I can't quite work out what's happened, but everybody went to work before the COVID lockdown thing. And then when it was over, they all went back to work, but nobody seems to be doing anything. So we can't get concrete, we can't get steel, we can't get timber, we can't get turkeys, we can't get microchips to make cars. Nothing's available anymore. It's really weird. But we'll be okay here. We've got enough things to kill and eat, so we'll be fine.
Fantastic! Congratulations on the series, on the book. Go well for Christmas. Cannot wait to see series two, and we'll get you back on when it's on here in New Zealand. Lovely to talk to you.
Lovely chatting to you. Thank you very much. Thank you,
Jeremy Clarkson.